All right, thinking caps on. I want to know what you think about a few things. So, if we're out on the ball diamond, out in the field, you know what the ball diamond is? What is the ball diamond? Sir? Yes. A baseball field. Now, how do we know that that's a baseball field? Just because you just said it? Well, I play on lots of things. I could play baseball right here. Why is it a baseball diamond? Because there's bases. What if I pretended there were bases up here? Would this be a baseball diamond? Thinkers. We have thinkers today. This is good. Why is it a baseball diamond? Really? It is shaped like a diamond. Sort of. So let's just pretend it's a baseball diamond, all right? Just for the sake of argument. So we're out there, and I'm up to bat. And Ms. Host throws me a really fast pitch. And I just look at it, shake my head, and don't even budge. And Ms. England, who is the umpire, she says, "It's out." And I say, "No, it's not. It's not. I just didn't want it." I mean, who's right in this? Is it me? Why not? I'm the batter. I have the bat in my hand. You're going to argue with a man with a bat in his hand? What are you thinking? You did play baseball, so you know. Well, I've never played baseball, so I really don't know. But the fact is I'm holding the bat. And she's not. She's the umpire, and you think she's right? Look, you and I are going to meet up after mass. What if I did hit it? And I just stood there. Then what? What if I said it was out, though? How can I be wrong? Who says? Who says that because I hit it? this is becoming crazy now. Do you have something to add to this? No, back here? Or is your arm just stuck? Go ahead. What do you have to add? What are you going to tell me? Why not? Says who? Says everybody. Have you been to a ball game lately? That's not how it works. Okay, let's move on to something a little more simple. I'm walking down the street in a nice little neighborhood, and I see Brady's bike out there, and I decide that's a nice bike. And I pick it up and take it home. What do you think about that? Who are you to say it's bad? Because what? Stealing is a strong word. I just liked the bike and took it. I mean, I don't know where you're coming up with the stealing stuff, but I just borrowed it. Says who? Let's, okay, one last one. What do you think if I make Father David do all the work and I do nothing and I still get paid 100%? What do you think of that? Why isn't it good? I can, I'm the pastor. Just like I had the bat over there, I'm the pastor over here, pal. You guys are intriguing to me. What I hear you saying is you really want to have a community of law and order, of rules. But I wonder, if you're the one breaking the rules, if you would be just as emphatic on the rightness, wrongness, the authority issue. It's something for us to think about. And because it's Lent, that is what we're thinking about. And we're going to think about it not just in terms of these rules that we've made up. I mean, after all, baseball is just a game, right? We use the word game to mean it's just a game. Stealing is something a little more serious, isn't it? And he's right on the money. And stealing is wrong because God said so. God, the ultimate umpire, is the one who gives us what is right, what is wrong, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, what works for the human person and what doesn't work for the human person. What Jesus and our first reading are talking about today are the rules, the laws, the commands that God has given to us, the dictates that God has entrusted to us. And I think we can look at them as in one of two ways. The first one is very negative. We can say we don't want rules, we don't want laws, we want to be able to do whatever we want, when we want, and how we want. But I think you all just agreed that wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fun because then the game wouldn't be a game, it would be a fight. And if stealing is the way it's going to go, then none of us are safe. And if the priest, the pastor, can do nothing and still get paid for it, that's just highway robbery. I think we all pretty much agree. So we don't want to look at the law and rules as negative so much, but let's look at what the first reading says. The first reading gives us a different way to look at the law. From Deuteronomy, for what great nation is there that has a God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are just as the whole law which I'm setting before you today? This is groundbreaking. We don't realize it because we're all Christians and we just kind of take it for granted, the commandments and whatnot, the rules of the church. But this is groundbreaking for them. Because when you have all these other gods, which they did back then, these gods didn't follow rules because they're God. Like what I said, I'm the pastor, I can do whatever I want. That's not true for me. But for these other gods, it was. And so if they woke up in the morning and had a bad night of sleep and were angry, they'd take it out on you. There was no right or wrong. There was no rule. It was all based on how they felt, their emotions, what they wanted, what they were thinking. They didn't care about anyone else, but our God isn't that way. The God that you and I worship is not that way at all. He is not emotional. He doesn't make rules and ordinances and dictates based on feelings or the mood of the day. He makes them on justice. What is in your best interest? What is in your good? Your whole good, not just your good for this second, this moment, and this time, but for your whole good. God is looking at your entire life. And that's why he entrusts to us these laws. They're not secrets. God isn't holding them somewhere and then saying, oh, you broke a law. And you can say, well, you didn't tell me the rules. Well, that's all right. I'm God. I don't have to tell you the rules. No, God tells us the rules. so that we can play fair, so that we can win, not lose. God wants us to win, which is why he not only gives us the rules, but as we experience in this Eucharist, he gives us grace to attain the rules that he's entrusted to us. God doesn't expect us to do something impossible. I'm not a bird, and no matter how hard I flap my arms, I'm not going to fly. God doesn't expect me to fly, but I am a human, and I have an intellect, and I have a will. I have the ability to sit in the presence of God and talk to him, and I have the wherewithal to sit and listen to what he has to say back to me. This is a great gift for us. And so the book of Deuteronomy is offering us a new way of looking at how you and I live our life, which we all just agreed, we want law, we want order. We want a society that knows what is right and knows what is wrong. And accountability is the order of the day. So that even when I do something wrong, we want me to be accountable to it. To stand up and say, no, this is wrong, Father Troy. You need to work. You can't give it all to Father David. That's not fair. So as we go through our day, we're encouraged today to think about how you and I, in our own lives, quietly, in our heart, in our mind, think about laws and rules and how it is that we teach other people these laws and rules. Did you hear what Jesus said at the end of that gospel today? It was something like, woe to you who teach others wrong. You'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. But if you teach them these commandments, you're going to be great. I think about that an awful lot as a pastor, because these rules, again, are much more important than the rules of a game or just the rules of our society that we've created so that we can live in harmony. These are God's rules for our eternal soul. And woe to our teachers who don't teach what's supposed to be taught. Not just the teachers in the formal teaching, the title, but me as a teacher, mom and dad as teachers. You guys are teachers. You may not think you are, but each grade under you is looking up to you. And if you give bad example, in Jesus' word, it won't be a good day. So what a great opportunity for us to reflect on our perception, our feeling of the law. Are we as strong about the law when we've broken it as we are when someone else has broken it? Are we so demanding for justice when we've done something that we know we shouldn't do? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really help us accommodate our lives to the law that God has given to us so that we can live life and live it to the full.